U Urban Bible Study Weekly Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Crosden, General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today I'm joined by Dr. Christina Zimmerman. Hello, Christina, our content editor.
Hello, Mark. It's good to be with you again. And we are once again in the study of Elijah living outside the comfort zone. We're on our fifth session today, and this session is titled, Serve Even When Discouraged. You know, God never promised us that life would be easy and free of trials. But God did promise us that He will never leave us. He is with us through life's difficult circumstances. You know, these circumstances, as we studied before, are up and down, good and bad, but God never leaves us. When we are weak in serving God, He is strong in serving us. So our scripture passage for today is 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 5a, and then 11 through 18.
All right, so our point for today is don't let discouragement keep you from serving. Don't let discouragement keep you from serving. All right, so let's read our first section, which is 1 Kings 19, 1 through 5a, never give up. Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "May the gods punish me and do so severely if I don't make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then Elijah became afraid and immediately ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba that belonged to Judah, he left his servant there. But he went on a day's journey into the wilderness. He sat down under a broom tree and prayed that he might die. He said, "I have had enough. Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. All right, so here's Elijah, and he has just won this tremendous victory over the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. But often, depression can come with some small problem after a great victory, and that's where we see Elijah right now. He has been threatened by Jezebel. Jezebel, remember, was Ahab's wife. She was a prophetess of Baal. And remember, Baal prophetess were considered immoral and temple goddess. And even today, the name Jezebel speaks about immorality. When you call somebody a Jezebel, you're saying that they are sexually immoral, right? Even today. So she sent a threatening message to Elijah and said, "I'm coming after you." And rather than stand up against this woman, like he has stood up against Ahab, he stood up against the prophets, all of a sudden, Elijah is just in this terrible place where he sits down and says and prays that he might die. Wow. So, but never give up. What are you thinking, Christina?
You know, the mighty man of prayer, Elijah, after he had done all those things, or God worked those miracles through him, now he ran and he prayed that he might die. But you know, what's interesting is that Jezebel, you know, she was not there and she heard what had happened her response was not to say, well, you know, the silence of Baal and the fire that came from Yahweh proves that I was wrong and Yahweh is God. Instead, she responded with a vow to kill within 24 hours the man who exposed the lie of Baal. So that tells me that her heart was deeply, deeply deceived and evil and made of stone. She did not recognize the power of God, even after all that had happened.
Right. So just because you've had a victory in one area of your life or on one occasion doesn't mean that there won't be another challenge. And so we've got to be fortified sometimes to take challenge after challenge after challenge, but knowing and trusting that God is going to be faithful in every single one of them. Let's look at the second point. And here's what we can do in times like this. Take your concerns to God. Let's start reading at verse number 11. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain in the Lord's presence. At that moment, the Lord passed by. A great and mighty wind was tearing at the mountains and was shattering cliffs before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, there was a voice, a soft whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Suddenly, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? I've been very jealous for the Lord God of armies, he replied, but the Israelites have abandoned your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are looking for me to take my life. So there he is, take your concerns to God. So I would like to say I like this passage because Elijah is looking for God. So often, you know, we get in these times and we feel like God is not there. And so he looked in all of God's usual hanging out places, right? We know where to find God. We go to his, when you're looking for somebody, you go where they normally hang out. He said, God hangs out in the wind, but he wasn't in the wind. He said, God hangs out in the earthquake, but that day he wasn't in the earthquake. He said, God hangs out in the fire, but that day he wasn't in the fire. But he was in a still, soft whisper, right? So sometimes God is not in the big, showy experiences. Often we will find him in the quiet, unseen places. And that's a good word for some people who are always looking for God in the big stuff, always looking for him in the excitement, that often God is in the quiet whisper. All right, sometimes the other things get in our way from here and there, but here's what he does. He is not afraid to actually tell God what's on his mind. And he said, look, he said, they have abandoned your covenants. They tore down your altars. They killed all the prophets. And he said, I alone am left. And now they're trying to kill me too. Man, he said, God, they're about to wipe you off the face of the earth once they kill me. Is the attitude and idea that Elijah's coming with. And I just want to say, it's okay to tell God the truth about what's on your heart and to honestly express your concerns to him. Christina?
Absolutely. You know, we just can't be so hard on ourselves. You know, sometimes when we're at our lowest, we may be heavy with tears and our nose running and just ugly in our appeal to God. But God hears us, and we need to talk to God even when we are dealing with fear, depression. We need to talk to our God. Elijah had given in to fear, and God knew this. He knew what the depressed and discouraged Elijah needed. And God knows what we need when we're going through those things. And what Elijah needed then was a personal encounter with God. So that's what God did. He allowed Elijah to experience him in a quiet whisper, as Mark just said, instead of an earth-shaking phenomenon as before. He experienced God, the special presence of God, and Elijah was able to humble himself and talk to God.
All right. So, yeah. So tell God what's on your mind. And so the Bible says, before they will call, I will answer. While they're yet speaking, I will hear. God knows what we need before we ask him. He knows our thoughts are far off, but he still wants us to call on him and to express our thoughts and needs to him. And what ultimately happened? We must press on working for God. And so even when we feel discouraged, when we feel like things aren't going the way we want, press on working for God. Let's read at verse number 15. Then the Lord said to him, go and return by the way you came to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you are to anoint Hazael, king of Aram, and you are to anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elijah, the son of Zaphath, from Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Then Jehu will put to death whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, and Elijah will put to death whoever escapes the sword of Jehu. But I will leave 7,000 in Israel. Every knee that has not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. So there it is. Press on for working in God. It's interesting, this statement. You can see this in your book. It says that there are three things that God instructed Elijah to do. To international politics, as Elijah anointed Hazael king over Aram or Syria, national affairs, as Elijah anointed Jehu king over Israel, and then spiritual leadership for the nation, as Elijah anointed Elisha as his replacement. And so all of those things he did, but what's most interesting to me is the end of this passage, where in verse number 18, he reminds Elijah. Remember, Elijah kept saying, I'm the only one. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. And the Lord tells him in verse number 18, I got 7,000 just like you. Huh? So often we will feel like we're the only ones, and the only ones trying to hold up the bloodstained banner, the only ones who are trying to be faithful in these last and evil days, the only ones, you know, who God can depend on, but you are not the only one.
Right,
you may feel like you're the only one sometimes. You may be one against 400 and feel like you are the only one, but you are never the only one. You might be the only one right now in that place, but you are not the only one. And God reminded Elijah of that. I've got 7,000. Who have not bowed their knee to Baal and have not kissed him. And so God always has others along with you who are standing in obedience and serving him. What are you thinking on this point, Christine?
Yes, and you know, Mark, and I'm sure that this encouraged Elijah. when God told him that, you know, he probably began to see that his work was not in vain and that he had been fruitful in what God had called him to do. So, you know, God knows what we need. And he knew that he needed to keep Elijah going by giving him something to do. And not only did he give him something to do, as you said there, Mark, he gave him a friend and a successor. So all of these things that God did evidently encouraged Elijah and reminded him that God was still there for him and that we could continue to trust him. So even when we're discouraged, God is in our corner and we can rely on him at that point as well.
All right. So this is a fantastic lesson, a reminder to us, even in our most disappointing and discouraging times, to keep on pressing our way for God. And so I want you, if you're a Bible study teacher, to hold on just for a moment, because Christina is going to give us a powerful 1 minute teaching tip. But I just want to remind each of you to get your copy of the You Bible Study for you and for your class. Get those classes started again. You know, restarting our classes is sometimes like restarting a lawnmower after the long winter. And so we have been out because of the pandemic, many of us, for a long time now, over a year in some places. And so it takes a little extra. You got to give a little extra effort to get people really rolling back again. And so get your group started, get back into worship, get your churches open, because when the wintertime is over and you got to start the lawnmower, it doesn't start on the first pull. You got to pull it a few times in order to get it revved up and ready to roll. And so come on, let's start pulling the cord on our classes and on our churches and get them rolling. This world needs it right now. So you can do that with the You Bible Study. Get your Bible study materials at lifeway.com/you. That's lifeway.com/YOU. It's our urban multi-ethnic Bible study curriculum. It comes in paper and digital formats, and it aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum. So there's something for everybody. Come on, Christina, and give us our Bible study tip for today.
Okay, Mark, our teaching tip for today is know how learners are wired. And I know I've given something like this in the past, but think about it this way. You know, sometimes our classes are filled with loud laughter, or there may be high interactive group activities, debates going on, or something like that. But these type of activities will leave some people out. Introverts may not feel comfortable in such environments, and you may see them not participating. So what we need to do as teachers is vary our activities to include tasks that can be done solo, or, you know, as we just sit quietly, like listening to music or journaling or sketching a response to a question. Remember those learning styles. We're not all wired the same way by God. Some of those learning styles are reflective and logical and physical. Of course, we have the verbal and the visual. So let's help everyone to enjoy the lesson and see the lesson the way that we are wired by God to enjoy this life. There you go, Mark.
All right, that's absolutely great. And thank you for joining us today for our You Bible Study podcast. Join us again, because you never know where God will take you.